people would be better off having friends than sex, but I guess that's a quite viable.
Have you lost your mind?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Anti-Social Justice Podcast. I am Zoe at ZoeJen_ on Twitter. And with me tonight is...
John.
That's where you say your name.
I'm John or Beegree on Twitter.
I did that for the first time. I've been manning up for that for 5 episodes and you didn't pick up your cue.
Manning up? You've been manning up. So are you implying that like being a woman is somehow inferior to being a man?
Yeah.
That misogyny is so in you.
It is.
Deep inside
really
you.
Internalized. Yeah. Oh, well, that was a good start.
Just waiting to burst out of your chest and just get misogyny over everyone else.
Yeah, it's got quite a far-ranging splatter. That was disgusting. I can't believe I said that. Come on, get to the housekeeping.
Right, yeah. So, we've got a few thank yous. We've got a lot of thank yous.
We've got quite a lot of thank yous, yeah.
Yeah. Femdom USAF, mm-hmm. or USAF, whichever, made a lovely picture of a billboard, a banner, a picture.
Yeah.
Graffiti.
I actually wasn't sure what it was myself, but because somebody else was telling about it, I think James Sulman was talking about.
Yes.
But this was something that was on the side of London buses. There was a campaign that atheists had to do slogans that were sort of akin to the type of things that Christians might do, but yeah. They were atheists, as I understood it. And then it turned out there was an app where you could go in and make your own, and it did like a mock-up of it on the side of a London bus as if it was real. So this obviously wasn't ever on an actual bus, but then Femdom USAF account made me a bus.
Yeah, I kind of like the idea that they'd gone out and actually defaced a bus.
That's a better story, yeah. So let's say that.
Yeah.
It would have been a really good advert for the podcast. It said, the point was that they had said things like, there's probably no God, so keep calm and carry on and all that sort of stuff. And this said, there's probably no Zoe Jen. So calm down and download the ASJP podcast.
There's probably no Zoe Jen, although you introduced the podcast, so there's very clearly some Zoe Jen this time.
There's a little bit of evidence that I do exist,
yeah.
But there are doubters out there. I've yet to be conclusively proved.
We've also a couple of thank yous to the so I'm not quite sure who's associated with who, but Antona Hill, Antona Hill, who was introduced.
You're reading it Antona Hill, and I just read Anton A. Hill.
Right, okay, so here's the string of events. Didya, D-I-D-G-Y-A, introduced Antona Hill to our podcast, who indirectly also introduced Sheila Blackad. Zoe, spell that.
B-L-A-C-K-A-D-D-E. It's like Sheila Blackadder, but the handle doesn't have an R on the end. So like Blackadder, but stop at the E.
So Antona Hill does some quite interesting Google Hangouts. I've been able to listen to at least one of them, although it was like an hour and 40 minutes. So I had to try and work a way of listening to it orally, audibly, without my eyes. so that I could keep doing other things, because I don't have 2 hours a day to spare. But yeah,
you
so...
with your eyes?
Yes, I listen with my eyes. That was a 2 pints quote. No, I wasn't staring. I was listening with my eyes. Sheila Blackard, who is a regular member of about 80 different podcasts, but the one that I've had a chance to listen to is A News. A is in atheist. The big A News.
The big A. Okay.
And then, and so there's that podcast that I recommend you listen to. And then while we're plugging podcasts, we have the Oklahoma Atheist Godcast, starring our old friend Damien, who suspiciously tweeted a very relevant tweet about something that we're going to be talking about just before we started recording. I now suspect...
Do you think he's listening with his eyes?
Yes,
his eyes are everywhere.
Something like that. And Bird Terrifier, who is that the other guy on the Godcast?
That's the other guy on there. I think I'm maybe not mistaken in thinking that they seem to be best friends. They go to conferences together.
Who the fuck would be best friends
nice.
With Damien?
They said to me that they kept each other nice. Accountability buddies or something. They said they were.
Accountability buddies.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like the sort of pact that you make with a dorm roommate or a best friend or whatever, that if you ever die, your friend will, like, get round to your house and clear out your pawn stash before your parents or missus or children find it.
That is almost certainly part of it. And probably as well, it's to do with if one of them's sexually harassing somebody or everybody at a conference. Probably the other one steps in and points out. I don't know. We could ask them a bit more about this.
Yeah, I think we should, because I'm really genuinely good. Yes, it is a very good podcast. Mm. Very informative. And they get some quite notable guests on there.
Yeah, I know. So we need to launch a full-on campaign to get Richard Dawkins and beat them.
I just, I know Damien bandied around the idea of us being guests. I just want to go for that, just so that I can say I was on a podcast that DJ Groth and people like that were on.
Yeah,
last
exactly.
Last one was the head of the Richard Dawkins Foundation.
I know, it is a bit impressive.
I know.
It's a bit good and impressive.
See, there's part of me that would like to be on the podcast just to say we were in that kind of company. The other part of me is like, don't go on the podcast, because then you'll look like a moron when you don't have anything to say.
Well, I'm going to TAM in July in Vegas, so I could go on it live.
Yeah, although you may turn a few heads if you decide to wear your usual podcasting attire like you're wearing now.
Yeah, it has caused a bit of harassment.
I mean, Vegas is warm, but I would recommend you put something on.
It's warm. I've been there before, and it was meltingly warm. I was forced to strip. And well, people are giving me dollars. Anyway.
Well, you're Scottish anyway. You won't be used to the bright thing in the sky.
No, it's totally foreign to me. I keep thinking it's
bloody hell is that? Where are my grey clouds gone?
I only feel comfortable under a rain cloud in an anorak.
Yeah. The sky is blue. It's not natural, I tell you. It's not natural. I've been practicing my Scottish accent just for you.
Shall we go on to the main topic?
Yes. Let's do a bit of harassing.
Let's do a bit of harassing. Excellent. So we've done some stalking. Let's go live with a bit of harassment.
So our topic this week is, given the timing, it couldn't really be anything else, is Melody Hensley's Twitter PTSD, which has been a thing for a year or so, I think, but has recently not just been doing the rounds again, but been doing the mainstream media rounds.
Yeah, in fact, almost
Fox and Daily Mail.
Between us deciding to do this and just grabbing stuff on Twitter, it turned up in the Daily Mail and on Fox News. So she's growing in notoriety.
Yeah. And as Damien tweeted earlier on, I think a lot of people are starting to feel sorry for her. It's in the Daily Mail, which is a mainstream newspaper in the UK, if you're not listening, because I think we probably have more non-English listeners than we do English, or UK, sorry.
We probably do. And we're starting to quote the Daily Mail a little bit too often.
Yeah.
Slightly unforeseen turn of events.
Not even ironically. But
I know. I'm getting a bit worried about us.
So the thing that made me laugh earlier on is, I think it was Sulman that you mentioned earlier on, who mentioned in reference to the Daily Mail thing, he said something like, this story is going to run. What he meant was, it's going to go on for a while. It's not going away. Yeah. But what I thought he meant when he first said it was, they're going to run it in the actual paper, like in the print edition. And I thought, oh, that's not going to be good. I can't imagine the kind of people that still read a physical newspaper are going to be the kind of people that have sympathy for somebody who's saying they've got PTSD from nasty words on the internet. Mm-hmm. But that's basically what I'm starting to think, and what Damien and Lazy Savant and people like that were saying on Twitter, is that this isn't going to go well, because the wider this story gets, the more people there are going to be going, the fuck is wrong with this woman?
Yeah. So, and it's that absolutely classic SJW thing that we always talk about, isn't it? Where if she'd just done it in a slightly different way and been slightly less vehement and slightly less abrasive and slightly less unwilling to accept any criticism whatsoever, you might have had some slight sympathy with her. Like, probably not going to ever agree that she literally has PTSD, but okay, might have been like, yeah, she feels really bad because she's been abused and bullied quite a lot, and obviously that's not going to feel nice for anybody, so, you know, she's exaggerating a bit, but basically, fair enough, that's a shame for her. But it's the way that she's gone about it, I think, and the hole that she's digging for herself is just getting bigger and bigger with every tweet, I think. Just, if she had diffused it and had a little bit of sense and tried to be a little bit reasonable earlier on, she wouldn't have ended up attracting this much attention for it. But of course, that's the opposite of what she did. The more people sort of pile on and the more people notice it, the less reasonable and more adamant she gets.
Is she? The thing that gets me about this, like, I'm willing to accept that she's got PTSD from Twitter. Like, the thing about anything that's personal, whether it's a feeling, whether it's like a pain threshold, is that it's personal. It's different for every person. Like, I can take quite a bit of abuse, verbal abuse, before it starts to bother me, as evidenced by Twitter. Like, I get worse abuse from the people that I call friends than I do from the people that I hate. Dislike or whatever. But,
not me, but yeah.
Yeah. But other people have a lower threshold. Like, we were talking about one friend before the podcast who has a much lower threshold for this kind of crap. Mm-hmm. So I can imagine that her level, her threshold for what is like traumatic abuse is different to anyone else. And that once you've got that threshold, however high or low it is, you can get PTSD. So for some people, being in a war zone is what it takes, whereas for Melody, being called a cunt on Twitter is what it takes. That bit I buy. I can believe she's got a medical...
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. I don't really know anything about PTSD, so I wouldn't like to sit here and argue that she doesn't have it.
Yeah, exactly.
But the
problem
and,
then
and
comes
I certainly
is
wouldn't
that...
argue that she isn't upset and finds it really difficult to deal with, as you say, if her threshold doesn't even need to be that low. To find being constantly criticised quite difficult to deal with.
But that's the thing, though, is if she has got the proper PTSD from Twitter, what's she doing on Twitter? Because she spends a lot of time on Twitter.
This is I actually said this to my other John at dinner tonight because I just wanted to see what he thought about it.
I like that you call him your other John.
Yeah, John too.
Sort of makes it sound like we're on par. you have two Johns and they're on equal footing.
I like you slightly better, but he'd cooked me dinner, which
oh,
he didn't.
Oh right, do. Okay. So he's on he's slightly ahead at this moment in time though because of the dinner.
He's slightly more useful to me.
Yeah,
let's put it that way. But I said to him if theoretically if somebody worked for you and part of their job was being quite active online and having quite a sort of well-known presence online, and then they got a bit of abuse for that and they took some hassle and people were getting kind of mean with them. And they then got PTSD from that so bad that they were bedridden and they were off work for 6 months and were not able to do their job. I said, how would you feel about it if you discovered that they were still on Twitter all the fucking time? And not only on Twitter, but on Twitter talking about it so that they were attracting even more people that were giving them even more abuse. I said, how would you as an employer feel about the way that that person was dealing with that? I really just don't think that you'd be particularly sympathetic about it because if you're bedridden because of the severity of how much this has upset you, then why in the name of fuck have you not stopped?
I did see Ulan earlier on today, or I don't know when he tweeted. I saw the tweets earlier today. Basically, white knighting, I suppose, like jumping in to defend her. And he was saying that she's had all this abuse. Like apparently she's had some childhood abuse, and I don't know if he'd said she'd been raped or implied or whatever. Basically, there's been proper abuse, and they were saying that this is the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. So all this abuse built up, and then somebody said, you're a twat on Twitter, and he just snapped. So.
However, that's kind of interesting, though, because she herself hasn't said anything like that I've seen. I went through her timeline quite far back today, like more than a week back, and the most recent things that she's been saying about this specifically say that it is from online harassment to do with being a feminist and an atheist. And she herself is not linking it to any other kind of abuse that might be more what you would think of.
Yeah.
Something that might genuinely cause that kind of condition. So it's, I think in a way, like almost like maybe Ulan knows something about her from before. Maybe that is something that she's publicly tweeted about before. But I think two things. One, we can't base it on that when that's not what she's saying. I don't see why we should factor that in when she's not mentioning it. But two, also, where is it Ulan's place to be mentioning that if he knows that previously and she isn't choosing to add that into the debate that's going on currently? I don't really think it's up to him to be bringing it up. I might know that about somebody because they've told me it before. But it's not my place to play that card.
Well, he just jumps in, doesn't he? He just looks for ongoing arguments and insinuates himself.
Yes.
But lazy is my bum boy.
Should we look at some tweets that we've got here that are things that she...
Before I get on this, I just had this thought now is, so feminists get a lot of stick. Nobody with any sense is denying that. Mm-hmm. Rightly or wrongly, they get more hassled than non-feminists. And the so-called male atheist dude bros are in abundance on the internet. They do exist and they will just harass women for no good reason. So that's not right. The fact that these men exist is not right. The fact that women get more stick than men, that's not right. However, that is the current state of things. So I was just thinking, if Melody Hensley is an outspoken sort of a spokesperson for feminism, allegedly, and atheism, is she not just very ill-suited for that role if she can't take any abuse? I mean, like I said, it's not right that women get all this abuse. It's not right that men dish out all this abuse. But if that's the current state of things, how are you going to affect change by putting yourself in a position of, like, of voicing this group and then basically curling up into a ball and crying victimhood as soon as you get some abuse?
Yeah, I completely agree with that, because you don't need to put yourself in that position. You don't need to have that job. And if you're not somebody that can cope with it, then you could talk about something else or not talk about anything at all. I think Rebecca Watson tends to cope with these things a little bit better. She does seem, to be fair, to be a little bit more robust. She'll just answer the tweets and get a bit, like, in people's face back. I know she did say that she'd had PTSD. She'd been triggered once and she was in a ball on her bed. But as a general rule, she copes. People like her tend to cope a little bit better, and this Melody woman doesn't seem to cope with anything at all.
You know how I like my analogies that nobody else, that make less sense than the thing that I was trying to analogize?
I do.
Yeah, I've got one. Right. So it's a mechanic, right? But he only works on electric cars. And it's like the world would be better if all the cars were electric, because it uses, well, assuming we didn't have coal powered fuel station power stations or whatever, but the world would be better if all the cars were electric than gasoline because of the environment and everything. And this mechanic's like, the world would be better with electric cars. I only fix electric cars. But everyone else is like, well, that's great, but we don't have electric cars. We have gas cars. Mm-hmm. That's my analogy. What do you think?
It's quite good, actually. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Usually I try to make an analogy and I end up having to make an analogy for the analogy.
No, you're being too hard on yourself.
So anyway, tweets.
Should we look at some actual tweets? I think, I don't know when this exactly started, but I've pulled up one that's sort of three in a row here, where she's basically outlining what this whole thing hinges on. So if we start with that, if anybody hasn't looked at as many of them as we have, that'll give them an idea of what it sort of is. She said, shall I do her, since we do gendered voices?
If you want to do Melody Hensley, that is entirely your prerogative. Although, be sure to get informed consent beforehand.
Yeah, I'm going to pass, actually, on that. Make a pass. Could you reel it in? I'm going to read the tweets.
I realised you could see it from... I thought I was under the desk.
I can see it. I can see it with my ears. I'm listening to the noise you're making with my eyes.
The aforementioned desk is actually a glass table, so I suppose if the camera was at the right angle, you would be able to see it. Anyway.
You would be able to see it. Mm-hmm.
You were
at least you're wearing a bra.
You were doing Melody Hensley.
I was not saying. Melody Hensley was about to say. I will not be silenced about the seriousness of online harassment and cyber stalking. I have PTSD and it's changed my life forever. Military ex-military combat folks, there are groups that have higher statistics of PTSD than you. You need to educate yourself. If you are in the military and you are harassing me about my PTSD, expect that I will be speaking to your commanding officer. That was the first set.
Going back to the thought about what real world people outside of Twitter would think about Melody Hensley's PTSD, I think I tweeted Damien about it when he first posted a link to that tweet or something along those lines. I'd love to hear the conversation or see the exchange between Melody Hensley and a commanding officer in the army or the navy or whatever about this. like you can just imagine the officer, like Tommy Lee Jones with glasses on, and like, and he's just looking at her over the top of the glasses, like
that for the benefit of the listeners.
I was doing my Tommy Lee Jones face,
Paddington Bear hard stare.
Yeah.
I think the first thing that I react to about that is this idea that there are groups that have higher statistics than you. I'm going to come back to another tweet that picks that point up again. But you need to educate yourself. That is overwhelmingly arrogant. This was kind of related to what I said at the beginning about her. It's just her over vehemence and her complete and total lack of willingness to back down in any way whatsoever. You need to educate yourselves. Like, okay, she might be right that it's not exclusively something that affects veterans of war or military personnel. Like, that's perhaps a valid point to some extent. A lot of people associate it with that, obviously. And she's probably right that it's definitely not exclusively that. But, I mean, that is, what is your need? to go being patronizing and so confrontational to the people that are the military group that have it.
I think that
really lost her a lot of sympathy.
I think it's a symptom of the ever-shrinking bubble we keep talking about, in that she's so used to being with people that say, oh, yes, that's right, that's the way things should be, and oh, that's the way things are, or whatever. And then this story makes it out of that bubble into the wider public, and suddenly she's being assaulted by all these people left and right. And in her head, this is all stuff that's been signed off on, and you know, this is the way the world should be as far as the consensus opinion. She just didn't realise that the consensus opinion was leaving out the majority of people.
Yeah, she's sort of fallen slightly victim to her own hubris there, because she's believing her own yes people a little bit too much. I think so, and she must be to some extent a bit astonished at the backlash of something like this. I can see whereby she wasn't expecting it. But she, I think if she had been, as I say, a little bit more flexible and a little less completely adamant about it in the first place, she maybe wouldn't have annoyed quite so many people. This relating to what that thing said about there are
really
groups of
start
fires.
Talking about how flexible she is after the way this conversation started.
I should remember my audience, and by that I mean not the listeners, but you. I never learn.
If anybody listening, if any of the proper audience would now like to picture Melody Hensley being, quote, flexible, we'll let you take a minute.
What would leave you a wee break there?
Yeah. I'll insert like 3 minutes silence when I do the edit.
I think you've just made everybody turn it off.
Oh no.
We may have shot ourselves in the foot with that.
It'd be a good test. We'll say now that for those still listening, Zoe will make orgasm sounds at the end of the podcast.
Yeah, a bit of incentive.
Yeah, I know. But the people who tuned out after the Melody Hensley comment won't know that.
They will. The people that didn't tune out will have their reward in heaven. Can I make my serious point? Because I really want to say this.
Make your serious point.
This was related to her saying that there are groups that statistically have more cases of it than military people, because she hasn't seemed to feel any sort of need to be tactful or sensitive to military people at all. She said that women, this really annoyed me, women that have been raped and foster care alumni statistically have higher cases of PTSD than war vets. PTSD is not a war veteran's disorder. And as I said, it might be that that's completely true, just as a fact. But what's the relevance? I don't see how she's bolstering up her own claim there. As I said, she hasn't linked this to she herself being raped. Immediately somebody tweeted under that, in fact, which you can see here. Somebody has written there to her, oh, I'm sorry, were you raped? Because she's not only being completely insensitive to war vets and all of that type of person, but she's also hijacking and just using statistics for this disorder that would apply to people that have been in foster care or been raped or other types of presumably sexual abuse and childhood trauma that would be on quite a high impact level. She's no problem at all just jettisoning that to make her own point and make herself look more legitimate. But I'm not really quite sure what she thinks she's achieving with that. Again, she's just alienating people that might otherwise have been sympathetic to her about the abuse she's had.
I've forgotten the name of it, but it's a certain type of logical fallacy, which is one of Ulan's favourite things to say, logical fallacy. It's basically she's presenting two cases, like, and saying, well, if it's not this, then it's this, when, you know, and completely ignoring the fact that there might be a third or a fourth or a fifth case. Like, she's basically saying, she's choosing the argument to go down that PTSD is not a war veteran's disorder. Look, these people have more instances of PTSD than war veterans. It's not just war veterans. War veterans don't have monopoly on PTSD. When really the argument that people are trying to make, which they might not be making it very well by just focusing on war veterans, is that PTSD should have a certain level of trauma before you can take it seriously. So she's focusing on is that there are other types of PTSD or other events that cause PTSD, when really the argument is that the event that she suffered should not have caused PTSD because it was a non-event in the grand scheme of traumas. Like, yes, I can imagine people raped by the people who were supposed to be looking after them and responsible for them would cause more PTSD than people who go into a battlefield knowing that there's going to be violence and fully aware of what's going on.
Yes.
That
and
makes perfect sense.
They might be their grown-ups versus children, so that alone and...
Yeah, exactly.
There was an volunteering for it and all of those things, of course.
But like you said, it doesn't help her point in any way.
It doesn't help her point in any way.
Well, actually, it helps her point that not just war veterans have this disorder. It doesn't help defend the fact that she's got PTSD.
Exactly. It doesn't. Then we get to the interesting thing. We've got several completely opposing things here where they get a bit split personality about this sort of thing. She's answered a tweet from somebody who I think we've probably mentioned before. That's Sabine girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yes, she's... I don't know if she's come up on the podcast before, but she may have appeared in one or two harassing Storyfies in the past.
Yeah, so you've probably caused her PTSD.
Well,
personally,
she makes a big deal about how harassing, how Storify is stalking. So I make an effort to Storify her any opportunity.
But ironically, she'd probably be totally sad if everyone stopped Storifying her, because then how would she? Then she could have a bus that said, "There's probably no at that Sabine girl." Make her feel like she didn't exist. So she has said, so fucking done with people abusing me on the internet. And Melody has seen an opportunity to hitch her wagon to that and has said, I hear you, sister. I feel like I'm so done fighting, but I'm not going to let them win. And then Sabine says, so hard sometimes not to just give up, but no way I'll be beat by a bunch of misogynists. Now, again, this is not just to stick to the Melody thing, really, because the Sabine person isn't totally relevant to this, but I feel like I'm so done fighting, but I'm not going to let them win. But fighting, you wouldn't be having a fight at all if you hadn't tweeted so much shit about it. You're the one that brought it up. Nobody was like unsolicitedly tweeting you about you not having PTSD. You're the one that went on and on about it. And they said all these items, they're always so close to giving up, but they'll never be totally beat. She had a lot of tweets about this where she was saying, let me just find it here, where she's saying you wouldn't talk about it if you had PTSD. According to my psychologist, anything that makes me feel in control is good for my health. But how control does she feel when she's then saying, oh, I feel like totally giving up?
I don't know how accurate it is because I didn't look it up, but I did see somebody say that one of the defining factors of PTSD is a pathological need to avoid the thing that has caused it. But like I said, I never looked it up to see if that was an actual medical definition or not. But if that is true, then she would be in direct sort of conflict with a main aspect of what is PTSD.
There was a lot of complaining that people were tweeting her the symptoms as if trying to say that these don't apply to you because you're doing the exact opposite of what you would expect somebody to do. And she was saying that, you know, I love the way people are tweeting me the symptoms as if they don't apply when they so do, but they so don't when you're continuing to talk about it the whole time. Somebody here has said you wouldn't constantly talk about how you have PTSD because you can't take people being mean over the internet. So a lot of people tweeted in and reacted to this, and there's been several articles, including, as you said, the mainstream media that have jumped on it as well. But Zvan, what we're calling her, Zvan?
It doesn't matter what you call her, she will get wind of it.
Yes, that's true. She has done a big Storify about it that we're having a look at here.
A massive, huge, humongous Storify.
Which is very harassing.
And
what she's done here is, we were saying this before we started tonight, before we started recording it, is that what she's doing is trying to prove that Melody is the victim. It's on Melody's side. She is trying to prove that she's been totally harassed and abused because of this. But in actual fact, this whole entire Storify just comes across as Melody saying stupid stuff and other people, some more rudely than others, but basically all of them making good points. There's actually, like, their criticisms are completely valid. So she's gathered them into quite a handy document.
It's always context with this thing. She posted it, so it's stupid. Whereas if I'd post, I could post the exact same tweet without any sort of leading remark, and it would be because of the audience of people that would likely be seeing something I post. It would be an intelligent tweet. So it's just the audience. It's the way it is interpreted.
And Melody's just saying,
I don't know.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I can understand you just fine, but I may be in a slight minority. She's saying, Melody,
you're oppressed. Tell me your oppression.
I'm totally oppressed. They're too numerous to list here. Okay. We should do a whole entire podcast.
Well, they'd probably be never ending if you're a minority of one.
I'm a white woman, and you know, it's been proved now, unfortunately, publicly proved conclusively beyond a doubt that I'm basic white bitch.
Oh, yeah. My friend Buzz Chattawattatati.
Chatty, chatty, twatty. Everybody has enjoyed that quite a lot, haven't they?
I saw her on tweets I can't remember how I ended up coming across them, but I followed the rabbit hole of Twitter and saw her complaining about being ignored. it might not have been ignored, but I think it was people not remembering your name or something. But basically, she seemed to be equating people who can't remember your name to it being a racial issue. I mean, God, there's no way on earth that they could have just not remembered your name. There's nothing to do with your skin color or anything, but yeah. Needless to say, she's just as intelligent as when we left her.
She doesn't seem to have moved on and developed. And okay. Oh dear.
Anyway, basic white bitch. We're straying off topic.
You're straying off topic.
Yeah, but you came with me.
I know. I follow you into hell. So let's see, was there more tweets? Yeah, Melody is saying that she's taking control by speaking out and not allowing you to silence me. But again, like, nobody was trying to silence her until she started saying stupid stuff. I don't quite get, like, what it is that she thinks she's doing with all of this, that it makes her be in control, and it's, you wouldn't talk about it if you had PTSD. According to my psychologist, anything that makes me feel in control is good for my health. She keeps repeating that in different ways. It just, is this her exhibiting steel control over what's going on?
I don't know. I mean, the Daily Mail article actually said at some point she's... I haven't found a quote of her actually saying this, but after years of stalking and trolls, she says she's now too sick to go on the internet. Now, I don't know if that was just a flippant remark or if she said that and has gone away. Because at the time, I looked at her timeline and the last tweet was like 28 hours ago or something. So I don't know if she said that and then went away, but the last tweet, I couldn't see anything by her that said she was going away. But if she has indeed, like, sort of sworn off the internet, said, I can't take this anymore and gone, I'd give it an hour, maybe a day.
Yeah, so would I. But it's just impossible. What could the answer possibly be to just escape the conclusion that if all of this is so traumatic to her and it's what triggers her and it's what's given her PTSD, why is she still on the fucking internet going on and on about it?
Well, she's had it for, I can't remember the exact time that it, or I mean, I don't know the exact time that this first came up, but she's had it a while. This is only just recirculating 16 now.
16 months ago, she got diagnosed.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so, and she spent the first 6 months in bed.
Right, so it's over a year. And by the way, I'd love to work for an employer in America because it seems to be a lot easier to convince them that you're too sick to come into work than over here.
Well, this was kind of my exact point that I was saying at dinner to John too, was, you know, what do you think her employers make of the fact that she didn't fucking stop tweeting and going on about it and attracting attention to it?
Yeah, that must have been a good one. But yes, it's so she's had it over a year, and if the psychiatrist or the therapist or whatever who diagnosed her has truly said that anything that makes her feel in control is good for her, and knowingly, like, presumably she's seen this therapist, she says she's got thousands of hours with a therapist, so the whole fact that she's still on Twitter must have come up, otherwise she's not doing her role properly as a patient. Like, it's the sort of thing that she should be telling the therapist. But if that's come up and the psychiatrist has said, yes, try that, let's try that, a year's gone by, she's not any better, if anything, she's worse, surely a different tack should be tried at this point.
Absolutely, that's a good point. Either that, or she's not admitting to them that she's still doing it because she finds it really addictive and can't actually manage to get herself...
I don't see how this situation could be how it is without her being dishonest at something. I'm not saying she's lying about having PTSD. I'm not saying she's lying about seeing therapists. But she has to be lying about what the therapist is saying, or she has to be lying to the therapist about something. There's no way this situation, like, or the therapist has said, like, you know, stay off Twitter for a bit. Just don't go on Twitter. And she's not doing that. Which at this point, surely the therapist would get wind of, because it's getting public enough. But yeah,
you bloody well think so. She's got quite a high profile job.
I mean, I'm not a therapist, maybe they do have, like, long-term plans, but 16 months and you've still got the same amount of PTSD, maybe you should try not going on Twitter.
Or, you know, try another fucking different therapist, if it's really true that they keep telling you, no, no, it will make you feel in control, just keep tweeting, the control is within your grasp.
But it's just, you just know that if she heard me say that, or she heard anyone else say the same thing, like, maybe after 16 months you're still not fine, take a break, go away from Twitter, the thing that's causing you all this trauma. You know, if she heard that comment, she would say, well, that's typically just trying to silence me.
Yeah. But also, do you notice that because she has this job for the Center for Inquiry and she organizes the Women in Secularism conference, she tweets quite a lot about that as well. You notice that there's no harassment and abuse linked to those tweets. If you go, she does a lot of, tweets that are about raising donations to get people scholarships and grants to attend that conference. Those things pass all the MRAs and misogynists by. Nobody's in there like trying to destroy the real work that she does because they genuinely hate feminism and are trying to bring it down. She is only getting shit for the shit, if you know what I mean. She's not the legitimate things that she does on Twitter. It doesn't seem to connect with her at all. Yeah, that they pass by, no problem. There isn't any threads on those tweets with people coming in and telling her that she's being stupid. What you just said, if we're trying to be quite short.
Oh, what did I just say?
Are we being short? It linked quite well to my stupidest tweet of the week that I've picked.
Let's do that. Okay, should we go straight to that? I think we said everything we need to say about silly woman anyway. Although I know your silly woman tweet is the silly woman again.
I've picked her, for my stupidest tweet of the week, which was quite neat. But this really relates to what you just said about the therapy and change your tactic. And if it's not working for you after a certain amount of time, fucking do something a bit differently. And that was this was her on the 11th of April. So this is on Friday. Nearly a week ago, and it says, I'm getting barraged harassment today and it's not even noon. Please let me get through the day without a meltdown. Fuckers. Now, if anything could be more calculated to attract attention, to flame it, to keep it going, to keep it warm, to make sure that even more of them come to you and tweet about it, I don't know what could be more calculated to keep it burning than writing something like that. I mean, honestly, if she doesn't want these people tweeting her and she finds it triggering and it's given her a serious mental disorder already, why on earth, what on earth is the mentality where you get on Twitter and write something like that, letting everybody know? You don't need to. You wouldn't have needed to let everybody know that it was continuing to go. A barrage of harassment today.
Do you know...
meaning tweets, so you could log out of Twitter. That would always stop a barrage of Twitter harassment. Just ask Caroline Creator Perez. There's only one surefire way to not get a barrage of harassment on Twitter, and that's to log out. But they seem physically incapable of it. It's not even, please let me get through the day without a meltdown. Like, why are you needing to say that? You're letting them know it works. That comes back to, again, the thing that we had in episode 2 about feeding the trolls. If they really are just trolling you just because you're a woman and just because you're an atheist and not because of what you're saying, then you're letting them know that you're going to have a meltdown. All you're doing then is giving them exactly what they want. Although in this case, I don't actually think that they are just trolls. I think they're people making good points. Then just end with fuckers.
On that exact sentiment, the whole thing. I mean, like, they always say that women get it worse and men can't understand the plight of women and all that in terms of online abuse and all that. But in my personal experience of being, well, I won't say trolled because it implies that they're all idiots, but it was trolled. On the few occasions when I've been trolled, and like, say I've posted a story fire, or I've posted a blog post, or I've posted a video, and there's been like maybe a few dozen people of the SJW persuasion have come to have a crack at me, the one thing that I've noticed as a common feature is that if I reply to them, first thing, I'll get the same amount of new people regardless. So like, if I don't reply to any of them, or if I reply to all of them, I will still get a minimum amount. If I reply to any of them, that number goes up because those somebody else might see the reply, or somebody might see their second reply. Because the one thing that usually happens is if I reply to them, they will reply back. It starts a thread, an exchange or whatever. And then somebody else might see that exchange and then they'll jump on the bandwagon. The one common factor is that if somebody comes tweeting at me and I don't respond to them, they very rarely say more than one tweet. Unless their initial opening exchange is like a 4-tweet long barrage or diatribe or whatever. But after that initial exchange, if I don't say anything back to them, I never hear from them again. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's something in that don't feed the trolls thing. And like I said, they're just going to say, well, it's different for women. You don't understand because you're a man. Like, please, cis white man, tell me about your experiences. It's all that bollocks.
Yes. And then you go, you will not silence me.
Yeah. But it's not silence, and it's me just not responding to the idiot who bit. It's like when I get, I've started occasionally getting tweets where somebody I've never seen before, I've no idea how they've come across my timeline, will just announce, adding me in the tweet, that they're going to block me. And I'm like, okay, right, well, like one of them, it was a really sanctimonious sort of like, I've learned to be cautious around people who identify on Twitter as atheists.
I did see that.
Yeah. I'd never seen this guy before. I think I might know how he came across my tweet, but I'm not 100% sure. But I was like, well, that's a lure if ever I've seen one.
Yeah.
One that I'm not going to take. You feel free to be cautious around me. I'm just going to carry on not knowing who you are.
It's one thing not feeding trolls, but it's quite another thing buying troll snacks.
Yeah.
And holding back.
And just throwing down a little trail back to your Twitter den.
Yeah. What the fuck is that about?
So I've got a feeling we know who's going to win this week, but I'll say my tweet anyway. My stupidest tweet is it's from a friend of a friend. Subman USN recently, a friend of the podcast, recently had an altercation with this charming lady. Subman, for those who aren't aware, Subman posted a blog post detailing some horrific, it looked horrific to me, because all I could think of was, I'm not sure how I'd cope in that situation.
It was a harrowing story.
Yeah, exactly.
That I think moved who read it quite deeply.
And yes, woman, pretty much.
As you say, the charming woman, as you say, she was in a random and sudden and rather violent exception.
Yeah, so the story was some man detailing stuff that happened with his kid when when the child was born and all that, and how he spent most of his life only seeing the child on weekends, and that's one of those sort of stories. And he mentioned at one point, I think it might have been one sentence, that he kept up his child support and everything. And this woman basically focused on this like 0.8% of the blog post, and just had a fucking pop at Subman as though he'd just basically whined about having to pay child support for a full blog post. So that was her one takeaway from this like heartfelt and quite heartbreaking story. Yeah. So anyway, that's the woman we're talking about. Now let's go on to the tweet that I'm suggesting for stupidest tweet of the week. Sometimes I'm afraid to enter a conversation because I'm worried people will roll their eyebrows like, oh man, it's Regina again. Maybe that should tell you something about yourself.
Yeah. it really should. I don't understand quite where you tweet that about yourself, but she still has no self-insight or what? One of the worst things really about the whole thing with the Subman thing was that she was trying to claim that she'd put a lot of thought into it and that hours and hours had gone by before she actually wrote what she wrote. So she was trying to imply there was some degree of introspection there.
Lazy, but there seems to be an amazing story where, as he put it, he white-knighted Subman. And he mentioned in that, after her tweet where she's put like 12 hours thought or whatever into it, and then Lizzie Savant said, or you went to sleep, or went to work, or had dinner. You know, it's not like you sat contemplating, you just had real life things to attend to. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, so, I mean, I think your tweet should win just because, it's Melody, and Melody is currently everywhere. So it was
a tiny bit more relevant to the podcast, although I completely agree with you that the Regina thing affected our sort of whole group and a lot of friends of the podcast, and we all reacted to that.
It must have made up the mention of child alimony or whatever they call it in America must have
triggered her talking about triggering.
Yeah, it must have taken up 0.2% of the entire blog post, and she acted like he'd just whined about having to pay child support.
And even
the tiny bit that he did mention child support, he wasn't whining about paying it. He just mentioned he'd paid it.
Yeah, but she did say at one point in one of her, when this turned into a massive thread, she did say something about that she admitted that men who didn't pay child support was a sore point for her, because surprise, surprise.
So let's have a good old rant and attack somebody who does pay child support. And not only...
But it just goes to show that mentality of like tarring everybody with the same brush and just men are the enemy and men should shut up. And, you know, she's one of these outspoken feminist people on Twitter. She is followed by a lot of people that we know and like. And she does have a bit of an anti-man agenda. I've seen that before. But this really seemed just to be utterly lacking in any compassion.
Well, speaking as a man, and I think I can speak for all men, just because none of them are listening and they're not going to complain. Mm-hmm. Feelings mm-hmm. mutual. she's quite welcome to stay away. When I was looking for tweets and I came across her tweets, I remember, because I keep this to yourself, but I've got like a secret private list of notorious stupid tweeters. She earned a spot in that list after the Subman thing. So I saw her name and I thought, I wonder what sort of crap she's saying. And there was a couple of tweets where she'd basically said her husband had got, she's got a husband, like a man.
Presumably not the original one. One assumes.
He was evidently away on holiday or working or whatever. He was not at home, and she'd found a note from him in like the or she'd got a message from him saying look in the bread bin or something, or look in the letter rack.
Okay.
And there was a note in the letter rack, and I guess it said something nice. So I thought, okay, she's got a caring husband and she's bragging about it effectively. There's nothing wrong with that. It's Twitter. Everyone's a narcissist. But then the next tweet on was like, she'd told him to do that. Not she'd told him to do something nice. Not just she'd said, if you're going away, do something nice for me. She'd told him specifically, leave notes for me. She said, and then it was something like, yeah, it might be more romantic if he'd chosen to do it himself. Yeah, you know, it's fair.
Might be.
But he makes up with it. He's got good qualities in other areas. And I was just like, yeah, but that guy's got to be thinking, really?
Really?
Are these good qualities not enough? Why don't you leave yourself a note? Because you're either teaching him, you're either training him, in which case at some point there's an end goal where he will take it upon himself to make these romantic gestures. Or you just want the romantic gesture, but you're having to tell him to do it, in which case, just do it yourself. Leave yourself a romantic note. Why can't the good...
It strikes me that the most romantic thing this guy might have done was digging the hole to put the first guy in.
I just don't get why the good qualities that he's got in other areas can't be enough. You know?
It might be a topic for another podcast.
Yeah, we should probably cover this one to a close, because we know we're going to get at least one person complaining about how long it is.
How long it is. We did pick a winning tweet of the week, though, this time, just because I saw it and it was genius. So shall we finish on that, because it is relevant to Melody again?
Yes.
So I think this would be a good one to finish on. So winning tweet of the week, we'll have to at her that she's been mentioned, is, how are we pronouncing this? Lilia23? Lilia23?
Vix. Is one of the women who just fancy the pants off me.
Yes.
she won't admit it, but I know.
She won't admit it.
No.
She invited me to roll in the hay yesterday, so she admitted it to me.
Yeah, well, yeah, but that's you. She'll admit it to you.
That's me.
But I mean, her lust for me is a lust that cannot be spoken out loud.
Really?
Yes.
I might DM her about that. I'll let you know what she says.
I just pick random women from time to time and insist that they fancy me.
It's working quite well for you, isn't it?
Is it?
It certainly provides me with hours.
It worked brilliantly with Femitheist.
It did. It was, well, that's slightly debatable, but it was funny as fuck.
Yeah.
Vix has very, very brilliantly summed up this whole entire thing with the following very succinct and well-chosen words. I would bet that people are hating on Melody because of the ridiculous shit she spouts, not because she's a female or an atheist. And then she's hashtagged it Melody Hensley PTSD. And that, I think, is really it in a nutshell.
Well done, Vix.
Well done, Vix. Do you want to say goodnight? Do you? He's shaking his head.
Yes, <All right>. Okay. thank you for listening, everybody. Have a good night.
Good night.
Anton Ahill. Anton Ahill.
Anton Ahill. Anyway. Anton Ahill. Oh.
Yeah.